verse this morning, because I think in this first verse, Paul really gives us an introduction as to who he is and what he is, what he's doing here, and where he's going. Paul was one who knew. And that's always a constant encouragement to me, to see that here was a man, perhaps the second greatest man who ever lived next to Jesus Christ. Certainly, we have more of his writings in the Word, the New Testament, than any other. Paul's life is really one that we need to look at closely. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Father, we really do thank you for your Word. Thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for this letter that we'll be studying. Help us to see the principles, the truth, the great theology of this epistle, that we might apply it to our hearts and lives, that it may really make a change in our daily conduct. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several weeks ago, when I was up in Ohio, I went with my father for a little bit of nostalgia around through some of the surrounding country roads that I had traveled so frequently as a child, as a young man, I should say. And I remember one of the roads that I was going down, there happened to be a house in which I spent many of nights in my high school years with two good buddies of mine. Both were, one was a year older, the other was 2 years older, but they happened to be my best friends through high school days. And this house just happened to be one of the finest homes in the whole neighborhood. It was kept up, well painted and well manicured. And it just was the kind of a home that you really always enjoyed being around. It was sort of a stately looking house. As we drove down the road, I could see that this house had not been kept up. And the closer that I got, I noticed that the paint was all chipped off and boards were coming off of the front porch. And then I saw the windows had been broken out and nobody was living there. And I began to think have thoughts go through my mind. You know, there were a lot of man hours that went into building that house. It probably took at least weeks and maybe even months for several men to build that house. And yet today, no one is living in it. It's falling apart. And I thought, you know, how many times we invest our lives in something that really doesn't count, that's all going to disappear with time. And I think the Lord gives us these little reminders around us that we constantly need to be focusing in on the Word of God and what God's will is for our lives. Because it's the will of God that is of utmost importance. There's a saying that I ran across some time ago, out of the will of God, there is no such thing as success. In the will of God, there is no such thing as failure. And it doesn't matter what God's will is for your life, if you're fulfilling His will, regardless of what you're doing or what your occupation is, you're going to be a success. And that you're going to leave your marks, your footprints, upon the sand of time. And Paul really says something about himself here, which I want us to dwell on this morning. Paul, an apostle, one sent forth with a specific mission, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now this tells us who he is the ambassador of. He is the ambassador of Jesus Christ. We think of an ambassador as one who goes to a foreign country to represent the president of our country. And he represents our president in the way that he thinks, in the way that he talks. And he has to know the president and the president's mind so well that he adequately represents the president of the United States to those foreign mentalities. Now, in the same way, if we're really going to be apostles, those sent forth of Jesus Christ, our first and foremost primary duty is to get to know the one that we represent. And the Lord took the Apostle Paul from his conversion experience out into the desert for 3 years to get Paul acquainted with him. And I'm convinced this is why many times there's so much discontent among young believers, is that the minute we come to Christ, we want to see the world around us changed. And we don't realize that God wants to just get us apart to get to know Him so we can adequately represent Him. And so he takes us through these harrowing experiences. We become discontented. We think there must be something more to life than that. Paul knew, and his life is really an example to ours. He wasn't always this glorious messenger of God that we read about now. He had his problems. He had his times of solitude and quiet when it seemed like God was doing nothing in his life. But you see, God builds for eternity, not for a day. Paul says he's an apostle by the will of God. Now that's what we want to think about this morning. The will of God. It's an interesting study throughout the whole Bible, but particularly the New Testament. The Greek word here is thelemos, and it's translated many different ways throughout the New Testament. Some passages would say it's the desire or the wish of God, or it's the will of God. But it's what God has in mind for the life of each and every individual believer, that he has a specific will, just as he had a specific will in mind for the Apostle Paul. And Paul very adequately fulfilled that will in his life. Notice what Paul says in other passages. You see, this is a very common salutation to the epistles of Paul. This isn't the first time he's used this phrase. Back in 1 Corinthians 1:1, you'll notice he says something very similar. And I'm going to have you using your Bibles quite a bit this morning, going to different passages. So please follow with me. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He uses this word call here in the sense of wasn't his own doing. He was summoned. He was summoned to the battlefield, and he just simply answered that call. It wasn't a position that he'd put himself in. He didn't envy being an apostle, one who had been with Christ, one who had seen Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul, too, had seen Christ. Last of all, he was as one born out of due time, but he had seen Christ, so he was adequately equipped to be an apostle, to represent the Lord Jesus. He'd been a witness of his resurrection. And certainly he had seen Christ on the Damascus Road, as Acts chapter 9 brings out to us. So he's called as an apostle. Notice again in 1 Corinthians 1:1, it's by the will of God. He makes that very clear to the Corinthians as he writes to them that he has this authority as an apostle because God had put him into this position. It was his will. 2 Corinthians 1:1. We have a very similar phrase with a little variation. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. 2 Timothy 1:1. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Galatians 1:1. We'll just look at a couple more of them so you can get the feeling. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men. I always love the way he words it here in Galatians 1. He's not sent from men. He makes it very clear that it's not man's doing that he's in this position that he's in. God had put him there. Nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now there is his authority to be an apostle. And God's will over a period of time had been made very clear to the Apostle Paul. He knew what God wanted of his life. 2 Timothy 1:1 is very similar. You don't have to turn there, but he's writing to young Timothy. And he's saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to Timothy. He makes it very clear that he's operating in the realm of the will of God, and this isn't something that he's taken upon himself. Let's look at other occurrences where this word will here is used in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Now this is an interesting section, and you'll recognize it right away as we turn to it. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, we're going to look at three aspects of the will of God this morning. The first one is the importance of knowing the will of God. We're going to look at that right now, the importance of knowing the will of God. And then we're going to look at God's will for all believers. This is just in general. What is God's will for we who are newborn believers? And thirdly, how do we know the will of God specifically, individually for our lives? And I'll give you three principles on that. First of all, let's look at the importance. What is the importance of knowing the will of God? Matthew 7, 21. In this passage, Jesus makes it very clear that not everyone who works great miracles, performs great wonders, knows him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the thelema of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. What are we really seeing in this passage? That is that the will of God is of greater importance than good works in the life of a believer. And many times our good works are often there, the motives are to perform good works to cover up for the fact that we know that we have not fully resigned ourselves to do the will of God. And so we're always trying to produce. And he says, even though we may be able to cast out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus and perform many miracles that just simply astounds those who see us, if we are not operating in the realm of the will of God, then we may very well wake up in that day when we stand before him and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. He's saying that the will of God is of far more importance than the producing of many good works, even to the point of miracles. Matthew 12:50, the word occurs for the second time here in Matthew 12:50. His mother and brothers are standing outside while Jesus is speaking here on the Sabbath. And as they're standing outside, someone brings him the word in verse 47, behold, your mothers and brothers are standing outside the door, wanting to speak to you. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the thelema of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, sister, and mother. Now what is this passage really saying to us? You really want to have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? You cannot have it if you're not obedient to the Word of God. You cannot have it if you're not seeking to walk in the will of the Lord for your life. And Jesus is saying that if we seek to do His will, then we're going to have a close, intimate relationship with Him, which will even be closer than we can have with our earthly kin, our brothers and sisters and mother and father. So it's important that we walk in the will of God if we want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now Jesus himself was a great example of one whose every breath was in the will of God. He never did anything, never took a step, never breathed a breath that wasn't in the will of God. In John 4:34, the disciples had been concerned about Jesus physically because he'd been ministering all day here to the woman at the well and to those that she brought out before him, and he'd had nothing to eat, and they're showing their concern, and Jesus said, wait a minute, fellas, my food is to do the will, the thelemas, of him that sent me and finish his work. What Jesus was saying here is, I would rather do the will of my Father than eat. We talk about rather playing basketball than eating, or we'd rather play football than eat. You know, the world around us lives to eat. Jesus was one who ate to live. And the food that he ate was the will of God. That's what kept him motivated throughout his life. How many of us can really say that? I notice many times when I'm going to go out to a restaurant or somebody's house, I have all these visions going through my mind of what they might have for supper. Do you ever notice how much of your day can be occupied with thinking about that meal at night? It really becomes a consuming passion. Jesus' consuming passion was to do the will of his Father. John 5:30. In John 5:30, Jesus is dealing with the resurrection. And he's saying how it's the Father's will. He says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. Jesus said, I don't even make any judgments that are not a part of God's will. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. And then look in John 6, 38 through 40. Very powerful verses to this point. Jesus is saying, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own thelema, but the thelema of my Father who sent me. And this is the thelema of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the thelema of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus not only lived by the will of God, but Jesus also died by the will of God in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knows that he's got to go through this horrible experience of dying the death by means of the cross. He prays and he perspires as though it were great drops of blood. And finally, he resigns himself and he says, Father, not my thelema be done, but thy thelema be done. Your will be done. He lived and he died by the will of God. You know why David was so special to the heart of God? Do you know why David was a man after God's own heart? Look in Acts 13, 22. You'll find the answer in the New Testament, not the Old. Acts 13, 22. If you get there before I do, tell my friends I'm coming too. Acts 13, 22. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my thelema, all my will. That's why David was so special to God, as opposed to this, to King Saul. Saul wouldn't obey the Lord. God is very specifically giving him commands that he had disobeyed. But David was one who would carry out the very will of the heart of his father. Paul's whole life was characterized by the will of God. Romans 1:10, where he says, my desire, according to the will of God, is that I might be able to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual truth, to the end that you might be further established. By the thelema of God, Paul just constantly walked to do the will of God. He was a tent maker by trade, but he was dependent upon the will of God throughout his whole life. And then look at two other passages which I think are very pointed. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Here's Paul's words about the will of God. So then, do not be foolish. Verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. As one translation, the King James puts it, walk circumspectly, not as foolish men, but as wise men, redeeming the time. Walk a straight path, obedient to the will of God for your life, not going in circles. 5 years ago today was our fifth anniversary, by the way, first Sunday of September here at Wayside. And I think when the first Sunday or second Sunday I was here, I told this story, and I don't think I've told it since, but I drove a school bus for a time. And I remember out in the country, I was going down one of the country roads, and as I got closer and closer to this farm where the house sat on one side of the road and the barn on the other, there was this very confused rooster right in the middle of the road. And this rooster saw this big yellow, I don't know what it must have looked like to him, but he saw it coming straight at him, and he was in the middle of the road. He knew he had to go some way, but he was very confused about which way to go. So he just stood there in the middle of the road, spinning around, just as fast as he could spin. And I knew I couldn't get stopped. So just before I got to that rooster, and I had some kids on the bus, so I wasn't about to try and swerve to miss him. All at once, he kind of got everything in order. And he shot off to the side of the road just in time. You know, that's a picture of a lot of Christians just spinning in circles. Really, it is. Paul's saying, let's stop spinning around in circles here. What do we really want to get out of life? Do we want to do the will of God? Or do we want to carry out our own desires and ambitions? Do we have plans and ambitions and very selfish desires and motives that are going to cause us to go through life and miss out on the very best that God has to offer? Or do we want to do the will of God? Are we serious about it? If we're not serious about it, let's get serious about it.